Support for Millennial comes from Squarespace. Start building your website today at squarespace.com. Enter offer code Millennial, two L's, two N's at checkout to get 10% off your first purchase. Starting a business is hard. I know, I'm still in the thick of it. There are all these logistics, a certain kind of language you use. You have to learn to invoice people, make sure they pay you, and make sure you're not spending more money than you have. Womp womp. People want to make that easier for you. People like FreshBooks. FreshBooks is simple, quick, and provides you with the essential bells and whistles that you need to get your feet off the ground if you're freelancing for the first time or starting your own small business. You can create easy-to-read and record invoices, and you can track your cash flow. If you're curious, try it for free. Go to freshbooks.com/millennial, two L's, two N's, and support the show by telling them how you heard about it. Before we get started, I want to let you know we're doing a few new things. First, you can be involved as you listen to this episode. Just use the hashtag MillennialPMGo and live tweet your thoughts while you listen. Again, that's Millennial, two L's, two N's, PMGo. There's also a question at the end of the episode that I want you to answer. To answer it, you can use that same hashtag or you can tweet your answer to MillennialPDCST. Again, that's MillennialPDCST. Also, Millennial is hosting its first Facebook Live event on the same day that this episode is released, which is Wednesday, July 20th at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you have questions about how I made this episode or episodes in the past, go to facebook.com/millennial and I'll be there to answer your questions. And if you miss it, no big deal. The video will be saved on Facebook. That's all for now. On with the show. Every day, I walk up a flight of stairs to my office in Portland, Maine. There's a handwritten sign on the door that says, "This is where Millennial is made." I get there around 8:30, open up my computer, and start making a to-do list. With Millennial, each episode takes between 60 to 100 hours to make, which means I spend 60 to 100 hours in front of my computer. By now, I'm used to it. But when it's summertime and the weather's nice and I can hear the seagulls, work is harder. Especially because all I want to do is go outside. But I don't. I'm training myself to be a responsible adult. So I continue to do work, try not to fantasize about going outside, and after the sun sets, I leave the office. But little did I know, something would happen that would shake up my work routine and pull me away from my computer. You're listening to Millennial, a podcast about coming of age and maneuvering your 20s. In this episode, I shut down my computer, I shred up my to-do list, and I go off on an adventure. I'm diving into an unknown world to try to find out what's unfolding right under my nose. So a couple weekends ago, probably Saturday, July 9th, I'm at a cookout with some friends, and we're all gathered in the living room when my friend Andrew whips out his phone and starts telling us about this new game.
I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough yet. I don't have, I'm not level 5 yet.
I'm looking over Andrew's shoulder into his phone as he's telling me that with this game, you can catch Pokemon in real life.
Do you have to pay for the
this? Game? No, it's free.
Are they the same Pokemon for everybody?
I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so they may be Pokemon.
And then these are gyms.
What the hell is a gym? Is Pokemon, the anime cartoon with all of those imaginary creatures, really making a comeback? Hasn't it been like 20 years? I'll be the first to tell you, I've never been a gamer. Maybe it's because I grew up with a dad who scolded me for playing video games. He told me I was wasting my life because I was playing someone else's. And then he would tell me to go outside. I spent most of my childhood climbing trees and playing tag, so I never tapped into the gaming world or really interacted with people who had. So when this Pokemon thing came out, to be honest, I didn't really get it. I didn't understand why people wanted to spend hours in front of a screen playing a game that doesn't really have real-world benefits. But apparently, there are a lot of people who do. And according to my friend Meg, the whole world is talking about it.
I know it hasn't released in the UK yet. I have a friend over there getting really pissed.
Canada's pretty upset right now, too.
Are you serious? Yeah. What?
Yeah.
What is this?
To help me understand, Meg and Andrew started explaining some of the elements of the game.
You get, like, items there.
Like those Pokemon energy items. Cards. Like the leaf and the water. You know what I'm talking about?
No, girl. No, girl. I was such a Beanie Baby kid. I was not a Pokemon kid.
Maybe that's why I don't get it. Because when I was in first and second grade, I was looking for Tuffy the Terrier, while my friend Meg was looking for Pikachu.
I brought my binder to the playground.
Yeah, no one actually knew how to play Pokemon. You just catch them. Like, you just collect them all and trade.
So I'm quickly learning that this world, with cute, fiery dinosaurs and sassy Bulbasaurs, is drawing millions of people who are taking over the streets, which gives me an idea.
It kind of makes me want to go out there, though, and, like, scavenger hunt the people who are scavenger hunting.
Are there really millions of people running around out there chasing digital creatures from the 90s? Are people taking this seriously? I'm curious to find out. But first, I have to go to work. Monday, July 11th, 4 days after Pokemon Go's launch. While I'm answering emails and producing the next show, something strange happens. I look up, and in the parking lot right outside the window, I see two guys. They must have been around my age, or a little younger. And they're walking quickly in these random directions, glancing at their phones every now and then. I squint my eyes and my neck inches closer to the window. Could it be Pokemoners? The people who are chasing Pokemon? I quickly gesture for the other people in the office, Alex and Ben, to run over to the window to have a look.
You see them?
Wait, shh, 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 shh.
Hold on.
She yell at them?
No, no, no.
We should yell Pokemon.
No.
Shh.
They see one. Wait, they see one. They're pointing.
Shh. They're going to hear you.
Wait, they're going to see us. We're watching them.
Oh, they see us. Where are the Pokemon?
Are you guys Pokemon going?
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear that? They both said, oh, yeah. It turns out these two guys drove 30 minutes to Portland to specifically hunt for Pokemon. I had no idea people were going through such lengths to play this game. When I go back to do work, I can't focus. And that's when I decide enough's enough. If I'm going to find out what this world is all about, I have to commit. I have to shut down my computer, tear up my to-do list, and go outside into the Poke World. I have no idea what I'm getting myself into.
Look, because this is a spot.
A spot meaning a Pokestop. A place where Pokemoners go to collect items for the game. I've picked up on some language.
This right here, this monument, is a spot.
That's what you think all these people are here?
Yeah.
This is a family. This is just a family.
No, yeah, this is a family, but the people by the monument.
Oh, there is a guy with a phone.
Yeah, let's see.
As Ben and I walk around our neighborhood, I feel like an investigator who's creepily analyzing my neighbors.
That guy with the skateboard. What is he doing? Is he Texan? Or is he Pokemonin? Are we gonna watch?
You just wanna stake this place out?
Look, he's going back and forth.
But we don't know if they're actually Pokemon going.
Yes, they are.
Maybe.
Can you describe what we're seeing here?
There are four.
Five.
Five teenagers.
One's a girl.
One girl, three guys. One guy's got a skateboard. He's walking. They're all walking. They're kind of wandering around a parking lot, just looking at their phones. And every now and again, one will split off, just like all of a sudden, take like a sharp right. His head's still down, not looking where he's going. He's walking off to a corner. He's heading towards a bush. It's a bit of a dead end, but he's still walking towards the bush. He's on the grass now. Still straight at the bush.
I swear I thought this guy was going to run into this bush.
Oh, wait, he stopped right at the edge.
But then...
We might have just witnessed a Pokemon capture.
What people think we're doing. Because I got my phone to my face right now. We should keep walking so we don't look suspicious. Is that Arunde? Arunde! Ayo! Are you guys Pokemon going?
Obviously.
Are you serious?
Oh, are you really?
Yeah. Oh my gosh!
Yeah. We're looking for Pokemon goers.
Yeah, we're scouting right them out.
Playing, yeah.
What do you mean you're always? I'm Megan.
I'm Lily. Nice to meet you.
I'm Ben.
Hi.
I'm doing a story about it for Millennial.
Really?
Yeah.
So good. Yeah. Chloe and I literally all we did yesterday was play Pokemon.
I'm interviewing you right now.
Didn't even know it was happening.
Arunde and I met a couple of months ago, and we've only hung out a handful of times, which is why I'm surprised to find out that he Pokemon's like a boss. Yeah. I did just use that as a verb.
Walking to work, I was playing Pokemon Go at work. It was like I would have it open next to me. And so I was able to just like whip out my phone, like catch one really casually. And yeah.
What level are you on?
So I'm 13 right now.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I've been doing a lot of playing.
I don't know anybody on that level.
Yeah.
I feel like we've just come into contact with a rare Pokemoner. It turns out Arunde has been dedicated to the game since the very beginning, when Pokemon Go launched 4 days ago.
I got out of bed at 1 a.m. Like I got out of bed to go and catch a Bulbasaur. Yeah. Yeah.
We found the Pokemaster.
Had I just found someone who could give me a tour of this unknown Pokeworld?
Have you been to the gym?
I literally just found out what that meant 2 hours ago.
Yeah.
Where are the gyms?
There's so many gyms.
Can we follow you?
Yeah, let's go get ice cream.
Are we going to follow? Yeah, let's go. Let's go.
Oh, no. The servers are experiencing an issue. We might have to do it another time.
Oh, that sounds good. It'll be like a beat continued. Dun, dun, dun. It was good to meet you. Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah. Thanks, Arunde.
Okay, bye.
Bye, guys. What a night. We found the Pokemaster. We met a new friend. We got some ice cream.
Look at all that Pokemon can do for you.
Ben's being facetious, but I don't even register it because I'm too excited.
I know. This is interesting. I can't believe Arunde. Arunde's like the perfect person to talk to about this.
Arunde and I plan a Pokemon date for Thursday, July 14th, which is in a few days. But until then, I had to do some research. That night, I find myself reading up on all the Pokemon rumors I've been hearing about on the streets. It turns out there's a bit of a dark side to this craze. People are stumbling into dead bodies while looking for Pokemon, getting into car crashes. A group of teenagers used an element of the game to lure people to catch Pokemon, and then they robbed them. But, to be fair, there are supposedly 21 million people playing this game right now. And when you have 21 million people doing anything, there are bound to be some freak accidents. Thursday, July 14th, 7 days after Pokemon Go launched. I wake up knowing that today is Adventure Day with Arunde. I anxiously wait until 4 p.m. comes. It kind of feels like I'm running out the door for recess again.
Urunde Malik means appointed master.
Dang, that is a lot of names.
That's a lot to say.
Urunde Malik, a.k.a. appointed master, is going to be giving me a tour of the Poke World. Could it be that while I'm trying to understand the game, my real life is slowly transforming into a game? Meh. I shrug my shoulders and start walking. Let's go explore Portland in a way I've never experienced.
Just finish this battle real quick?
Yeah. Finish your battle. Urunde and I set out for the sidewalk because that's what you do. You walk around with your phone and then Pokemon pop out of nowhere and then you catch him. He also tells me that as we're walking, we can go to these different gyms and fight our Vaporeon Pokemon against a Jinx Pokemon and stop at Pokestops in order to collect items and Pokeballs. As I walk, there's a little bounce in my step, probably because I'm starting to feel like my real life is turning into a playground. I must look super psyched because within the first 3 minutes, Urunde asks if I want to catch my own Pokemon.
Do you want to catch one?
Yeah.
Here. Because I already have some Goldeen, so here you go.
Oh, weird. Okay. Okay, what's the technique?
Wait, so you kind of just center it on the screen. So you press and hold, and as the ball is smaller or the circle is smaller, that's when you have a higher likelihood of catching it.
Wait, can you hold this?
Yeah, of course.
I give Urunde my microphone because I know I'm going to need two hands to play and complete concentration. When I look into the screen, I see this strange fish-like creature. It looks like it's literally hovering on the sidewalk, bobbing up and down. It's sassy, and it's twerking all over the place. And there's this ball at the bottom of the screen. Urunde says I have to flick it. So I put my finger on the ball, and I flick it. And then I flick it again. And the fish-like creature dodges and tries to move away from me. So I press down gently, watching its every move. It dodges me one more time, and then... gotcha. I try to play it cool, like it was no big deal. But really, I want to do a happy dance. Hey! Just got a Pokemon! Open up your ears, get together, make things better by working together. Woohoo! Okay, Megan, take a deep breath. It's not that big of a deal. I immediately want to find another and catch it, but I calmly return Arunde's phone back to him, and then we keep walking.
So what else are you looking for right now?
So the reason why I was just circling around the screen like that was to see if there are any, like, one, to see what other things were around, like Pokestops and lore modules and stuff, and then two, to see if any Pokemon had popped up, because I felt my phone vibrate, but I think it may have just been an email. Boring.
Not important right now.
I'm going to delete the email.
As we keep walking, Urunde points to his phone and tells me we're going to walk towards a restaurant because there's supposed to be a lot of Pokemon there. When we get there, a group of guys playing on their phones come into focus. Are you guys all playing Pokemon?
Yeah?
What level are you on?
17.
20.
20?
20? Well played, dude. That's awesome.
You're on level 20?
Yeah.
So wait, what do you do at level 20? What does that even mean?
You unlock Ultra Balls and...
What's that mean?
Stronger Pokeballs.
Yeah.
And then you just keep catching them all, you know.
Yeah. Do you guys think that there's like an end? Like, how do you know when you finish the game?
I heard the cap is 50.
I heard the cap's 50 too.
Yeah.
50 Pokemon?
No, level 50.
Oh, level 50. Yeah. And then what happens at 50? Does anybody know?
Own your city.
Yeah, right.
Yep. You just own your city and then everyone will know your name. And then you're that guy.
I wonder if the other 21 million people are trying to be that guy. Wait, hold on. Why are you guys playing? You think it's just nostalgia?
Well, I mean,
it's
fun, it's different, we're outside.
I talked to like 20 people I've never would have talked to before. So.
Like right now. Yeah, exactly. Like I would never talk to you probably.
I'd never even see you, like that's how it was.
Where'd you guys travel from?
We live in Portland.
So. Oh, you live in Portland?
Yeah.
Oh, tight. The five guys I'm talking to are all Asian. And I can tell you, as an Asian person myself, living in one of the whitest states in America, I can't help but feel like I found some kindred spirits, you know? I'm Singaporean. What are you guys?
I'm Cambodian.
Cambodian?
Yeah,
Vietnamese?
Cambodian?
Cambodian?
I'm the only Chinese here.
Chinese! Yeah! Singaporean Chinese. We high five in the street. Good to meet you. Good to meet you guys.
Nice to meet you.
Good luck.
It's so funny. I really kind of like this world.
Me too. I'm really enjoying it because it's making people interact in a way that like people don't always.
Right? After 2 hours of playing, Arunde and I start walking alongside a path that's on the ocean. Our feet are tired. I'm getting hungry. So we're heading home. It gets a little windy, FYI. So I've been thinking about this, and I don't know if this is relevant or not, but when Pokemon came out, you know, it like came out right after all of these like crazy events happened. And like,
you're talking about like Pulse and like the cop shootings, all these
things. Yeah. And I wonder if, I don't know, people
need something happy to connect to.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that that's probably not a bad assessment of the situation.
Did you make that connection when it was happening or no?
I mean, it's like still like actively happening. Yeah, because I mean, it's like only like some day. I don't even think it's a week old yet, you know. And so
that's so weird. Yeah.
And so it's like it's hard to say like when it was happening because it's like actively happening.
I mean, it's hard to reflect.
Yeah, and I've only talked to like in depth to like goers that are my friends already. I know that we are playing just like from this like element of nostalgia because we used to all be really into it. If like a child Arunde could have done this, like this is all he would have done. Like this is precisely what I wanted, to like wander through the world and like for Pokemon to be real and to pop up on your friend's glasses when you're eating at a restaurant. Like that's all really fun and cool. But I think part of why like I'm so, like playing so often, it must be because like it's like touching something that we like don't realize, you know.
It will be interesting to see what unfolds. So what are you doing at 6:30? You're gonna go meet a friend?
Oh yeah, yeah. Meeting one of my like new friend. I feel as if it's like that, the term that I always use is like friend dating, like seeing if like you and this person are like compatible as friends, like want to like continue to hang out. Like
I feel like we're friend dating.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I'd say so.
Bye, Arunde. Arunde. Hey, let me know. Hit me up. Bye. It's so beautiful outside. I can't say I'm totally engrossed in this Pokemon craze, or that it's dramatically changed my life. But it has made me look at my city a little differently, at least for a week. I'm probably not going to start playing Halo or download Candy Crush on my phone, but maybe something like Pokemon Go isn't all that bad. I mean, I had a friend date, I met some cool people, I walked to places in my city I had never seen, got a bit of a workout. It can't be all that bad, right?
And it's that type of blind hype that makes us all vulnerable to fraud.
There's security risks in downloading the game, which may not cross the minds of crazed devotees.
Then again, who knows? Editing for this episode was provided by Sarah Brooke Curtis and Ben Severance. The voices you heard in the episode were Megan Andrew Roussos, Alex Morrow, Ben Severance, and Arunde Kruger. Before I leave, Arunde and I have a question for you.
I would be curious, like, what other people are getting out of it also. You know, like why people are playing it. Because it's, like, such a new thing, I haven't, like, taken the time to, like, ask myself why I care so much. I would love to hear other people's responses.
Why are you playing Pokemon Go? Does it go deeper than nostalgia? Tell me why you're playing by logging onto Twitter and tweeting at @millennialPDCST. Like podcasts, but without the vowels. To support the show and help keep the lights on in my studio closet, become a sponsor. Email sponsor@radiotopia.fm. To keep tabs on Millennial, you can follow us on Twitter, on Facebook, or on Instagram. And if you want to give Millennial a high five, rate us on iTunes. Also, if you want to know when the next show is going to drop, go to millennialpodcast.org, scroll down to the bottom, and sign up for the newsletter. We're always looking for new stories from our listeners, so if you have a story pitch, email stories@millennialpodcast.org. I'm Megan Tan, and thanks for listening. Thanks again to Squarespace for supporting the show. Squarespace. Share your ideas with the world by making a blog, portfolio, or online store. Start building your website today at squarespace.com. Enter offer code MILLENNIAL, 2 L's, 2 N's, at checkout to get 10% off your first purchase. The best thing about Radiotopia is the network of really great shows, including Fugitive Waves with the Kitchen Sisters. The Kitchen Sisters have a new season of Hidden Kitchens coming up soon on Morning Edition and Fugitive Waves. The theme is kimchi diplomacy, war and peace and food. But first, they're taking us back to the birth of Hidden Kitchens. Stories of secret underground below-the-radar cooking, how communities come together through food. First up, an unexpected kitchen, the George Foreman Grill.
I'm George Foreman, two-time heavyweight champion of the world, former Olympic champion, and king of the grills. Growing up in Houston, Texas, my whole life was spent trying to get enough to eat. Having seven kids, my mother did, and there just was never enough food for me. I always dreamed about not a car, not a beautiful home, but enough to eat.
My name Piggly Wiggly. I've got groceries on my...
To listen to this story and the Kitchen Sisters, subscribe to Fugitive Waves wherever you get your podcasts. Or go to radiotopia.fm.
Radiotopia.
Thanks for listening, and thanks to AdZerk for providing their ad serving platform to Radiotopia.